taken advantage of the program. And this year, we were pleased to have our first new business from outside the area come in and take advantage of the program. I think we're pleased with this progress, and we'd like to do even more to market what we think is a terrific incentive program, particularly to those outside of Jasper and who may not be as aware of the program. And really the best way for us to do that is through word of mouth and through the media and through, you know, as companies come through, making sure everyone is aware of what we've done. Because we feel it certainly adds and plays an important part to making Jasper a great place to do business and really differentiating ourselves from other cities in the state. And we'd like to do whatever else we can as a committee, as a group, to assist in Jasper's overall economic development mission and plans. And it's with this backdrop that I'd like to introduce Mayor Seitz and to thank the mayor for joining us this morning. I met with the mayor and Darla a couple of weeks ago, really to summarize our activity for the past year. And he shared with us a list of ongoing economic development and related Jasper activities, as well as brainstorms for future plans, which are really the backdrop for this presentation. He offered to be with us this morning and to invite the council members and the public and others to join us. And we thought this would be a nice way to really put a wrap on our activities for 2013 and to move forward together into 2014. So with that, Mayor Seitz.
Thank you, and I invite you all to come down to the front and take yourselves at home as well. Appreciate it very much. It is very good to be here and to have so many people in attendance. Thank you for joining us this morning. As Andy said, this all stemmed out of a coffee meeting that Andy and I had. He said, Rick Mayer, what you shared this morning, I'd like to have you come and share with the Economic Development Commission in December. And then we thought, well, why just leave it there? We want to make sure and invite those who have played such a great role and will continue to play a role in our growth as a city. Bottom line, it all stems from that quotation at the bottom of this slide. There's so much going on in Jasper. If we have heard that once, we've heard it 100 times throughout this year, from internal sources, from external sources, from random people, from people on the phone, and we realized that, and the mayor became a little bit fearful of that about September, because I thought, just me personally, we're relatively lean staffed, and how do we keep track of all of this? And it's not all just economic development projects. Ultimately, I started making the list of things that are going on in Jasper, and I stopped at 100. And then I thought, wow, that's a big elephant. You know, how do we eat that? Ultimately, we turned the economic development part of it into the presentation you were about to see this morning. The bottom line for the city of Jasper and those businesses and residents who work within and reside within is that we have a culture, a proven culture of entrepreneurship, education, and a very solid work ethic. We have the highest level labor force retention in the entire state. We have the 10th highest labor force retention in 601 rural counties in the entire Midwest, 10 different states. We're internationally known for our business sector, and all this combined propels us ahead of other rural communities, and I think even metropolitan communities in some aspects in the state of Indiana. That being said, what do we do? How do we go forward? I'm always of the belief that there are four fundamentals to development. And they are visioning, followed in order by illuminating, with the next step being planning, and the fourth step being staging. By visioning, that's more or less the grand picture. How do you see things going? Kind of taking of a bird's eye view and looking down and say, what can we accomplish? Where can we go? What's palatable? What do we have our assets that could be parlayed into something even greater? Illuminating then is spotlighting and being more specific. Kind of breaking that down and saying, okay, what can we focus on first? What can we do second? And then followed by planning. Planning is something that is a conundrum for some. We occasionally hear that gee, the city does a lot of planning. Or it does too much planning. And I've heard that occasionally, and my question back is, as opposed to no planning at all, what does that get you? And that's really where we are at in a lot of things. We will look at plans. Plans do no good, however, unless they are staged. And the stage means sometimes you are literally, as a city, doing everything. You're hiring the act, you're putting the act on, you're selling tickets and popcorn, and it's an entire city project. But for the most part, staging for us is setting the stage for implementation by city, private sector, citizens, as engaging them along the way. So these are the four fundamentals that I use as mayor and that we have employed together in the city of Jasper the last couple of years. In addition, there are five key economic strategies for the city of Jasper that we focus on, and they are a sense of place, infrastructure, effective governance, telling and selling, and working with others. We have to do all of those to be as successful as we have been up to this point and to be even more successful going forward. These five will be the primary focus of my message to you this morning. And ultimately, we're going to kind of list things under these five particular key strategies. First of all, a sense of place. We have an outstanding quality of place, sense of place in the city of Jasper. Fundamentally today, what we are hearing from people and what some of the national and international studies have shown is that people often choose the place before they choose the job. We can't necessarily prove that here, but I can, because of, you know, we have employers that have specific needs. But I know that they utilize the assets of our community, our utilities, our arts, our strength, our cleanliness, all those things that we have to help recruit people to this area and then to have them stay, have them become someone who calls Jasper home. So within our sense of place, we want to build upon what is now out. It's ready for adoption by the City Council, adopted as an addendum to our comprehensive plan, and that's our downtown riverfront master plan. In fact, we think this is a blueprint for the stellar community program that the Lieutenant Governor's Office administrates through Indiana Housing, through Community and Rural Development, and also through NDOT. And all those strategies come into place. We think it's an ideal start for us to make that application. That is essentially, for those of you that may not be familiar, a major combined grant program. Federal government passes through the state of Indiana about 4 years ago decided to do a combination of things and call it Stellar, a Stellar Community. There are several in our area. I have some concerns overall about the grant process in the fact that, you know, there are always strings attached. They're federal funds. And sometimes there's great expenses you give in order to get the grants, and you have to evaluate that. The state program has not eliminated any of those. So I think it moves relatively slow. However, I think we have such a great start to that that we likely will again look at applying for the Stellar Communities Grant sometime in the first quarter of 2014. We did, and I will give great credit to Lieutenant Governor Elsperman, for the first time ever, we did receive kind of a post-grant review last year and to see how we stood. We think they dropped some hints, and ultimately the decision is made pretty independently, so we don't know if she has a great role in that or not. It's just good to have had her representatives in our office to say, here's what your project, here's what your grant application was this year, here's how you can modify, here's what we're looking for. That was very beneficial. Out of the downtown and Riverfront Master Plan, there were many viable development ideas. When we hired City Visions, we asked and we reviewed all the companies for that, do not give us pie in the sky. If you're going to come back to us with things, we expect something that is viable, something that's doable, maybe over a period of time, but yet essentially no 10-story structures that we could never build or have a place for. And we believe they did that. Those include Jasper Captain, Who's Your Desk? We've had inquiries about senior housing in one of the old factories. The Astor Theater possibility, we've had conversations just in the last 2 weeks on all four of those that we didn't have before, all because we have kind of kicked this in gear and made it available. The incubator idea is something that DuBois Strong and has talked about and looked at. There's virtual incubators, there's bricks and mortar incubators. We have the capacity to do either. And Dr. Johnson and DuBois Strong play a great role in that, both Dr. Johnson in his role as VU Jasper, and he's an incoming chair of DuBois Strong next year. South Main, South Jackson acquisitions, that is more or less the area affectionately known as Frogtown. Those are still a long-range possibility. That would be generally a voluntary possibility, and we just sent out letters to landowners in that area, property owners, to share with them one other possibility. What was looked at 2 years ago did not come through from the state, and we want to make sure we can meet with them again. Vine Street is open for a possibility of what's called an enterprise zone, and I'm still ramping up what that might exactly look at. We have some vibrancy in that area. We have some challenges. We have some of our oldest manufacturing in that area, some of it being sustained with additions in the area. Others, we know that IFI, for example, that still has a home there, but certainly has a presence in the south end of the community. And, of course, the recent purchase of Jocko, which is the Jasper Group line, and the resale of that building, plus the old building that was in foreclosure, that was purchased now by Paul Bomberl, that was there as well. So all those things, it's kind of a mixed bag, but when you look at the housing around that, there may be some benefits to looking at that particular area of how we can encourage owner-occupied housing rather than only rentals, and making sure that we sustain some families that stay in that area, and because it's going to take a little bit of a rebirth. It's not going to be the manufacturing center that it was. And the city itself has a presence in that area with our electric department. City Visions does recommend connecting projects, avoiding one-offs. And that's something that's kind of gone throughout their entire presentation. Essentially, planning, thinking ahead, in what you're doing and making sure that there is a connecting and an understanding of A, B, C, and D. Sense of place continues out in our country club edition. We have certainly had a lot of interest in both of the downtown and the country club in those projects that occurred literally within the last year. I laughingly said to a couple of mayors, several mayors, 2 months ago, I floated out that we had 170 people at a public meeting, and the response I got, "Mayor, what's wrong?" "Oh, that must have been awful." I said, "No. It was about planning for the city. It was a positive thing." And they go, "Only in Jasper." And I go, "Thank you. Only in Jasper." We're very focused on that, and it's looking that it's going to be a natural, passive development. And there is not a rush to do something immediately with the Country Club property. That doesn't mean it needs to stay closed either, but this is something that is generational. We didn't expect it to have this opportunity to come into your city. There's no rush to be in it from a funding perspective or the perspective of filling something out. There was not a major need that we acquired that for. It was an opportunity. And I think that's where we're at right now, and it's a very good place to be. Splash Park study is something that is being taken or undertaken by the park board. It's not location-specific. It is need-specific. What does a city of 15,000 need? Basically between a large indoor water park and a major outdoor water park for its aquatic services to its city. Do we need something at all? Who knows? Right now we have a pool that's 60 years old. Certainly it's been upgraded, but it has a cycle of about next 4 to 5 years. It will have a natural fail rate, and we want to be prepared for that. Further development of our multi-use trail. We are sending out a letter, just made an announcement the other day to the park board and asked them for permission to use their meeting in January 14th to re-elevate this particular venture. It started about 10 years ago. We have some federal matching grant money, 80-20, that we can still use and implement, and we want to do so. The one thing we have heard and that we are going to focus on is connecting something. Right now we have a walking path along St. Charles that kind of deadheads either up through Portersville and heads a little bit towards 36th or through Newton Street. And then we have the river walk, among other things. How could we connect those two? So that's going to be our focus when we reinvigorate this particular project. In addition, how do we connect to some of our newer assets that weren't part of the original plan? So our consulting engineer is still under contract with that, and they'll be using an open house to resurrect this particular project about 5:30 p.m. on January 14th. The Spirit of Jasper, the highest passenger count and revenue ever this year. That is significant in many ways, because while we have this asset in our community, no one else does. Mayor can't pick up a phone and go, "Hey, what are you doing with your train this year?" Ken kind of pick up the phone and talk about golf courses, can't you, Ken, with other cities? How many phone calls do you make to find somebody who has a train? Zero. but we have worked it hard. So we have gone from, with two less rides from 2 years ago, we had revenue of $77,000. This year we had $115,000. Plus $20,000 in charters, roughly, and bookings of the depot. So those assets are being used to generate revenue. We have not looked at them as necessarily a source of continued funding. In other words, how profitable are they? We assign labor rates to it and things like that, and we kind of laughingly say it takes a village to get the train down the track. And it really does. All our people on that train are volunteers. And we honor them with a dinner this year, and we'll continue to do so. It's something that had not been done. Because, I mean, it's amazing. If we had to pay them, we would have certainly more expenses back to that. But we are generating revenue. I have a goal to increase the revenue from charters to about $30,000 next year, private charters, whether you use it sitting still or whether you rather roll it down the tracks. Adding the Monon car this year made a big impact because what we were doing, we were maxing out. We actually had to have passenger space, and that car that we affixed to it with a nice front porch worked out very well, and we got it at a good deal. We only paid for the tickets that were sold. Cost us nothing else to get it. Hopefully we can keep that up. Good city attorney and good park staff. And good Lois, I might add, who's not here this morning. Anyway, and the use of public art. Jasper remains the only city in the entire state that has a community of municipally supported arts programs, even the Midwest. And I know employers are in here that recruit internationally or nationally. That is a factor. We touch about 40,000 souls from school to senior citizens. Plus, we have the performance series and what's going on within the actual art center itself. I think it's fair that we look at the art center at some time and how it fits in the Vincennes University Jasper campus family. You know, where we sustain the program, does that building itself become something that's an economic tool for us, and does it fit into the university? We don't know. We have had some discussions with Dr. Helton to say you'd like to explore this. But ultimately, we know that we like the arts part of it, and we're going to make that work. We also know we lack gallery space. I think our downtown opportunities present a great place for galleries or a gallery to be developed as those mixed-use buildings get developed. One advice again from City Visions in the terms of art, avoid one-offs. Be careful that what we do, make sure what we do is connected to something else. We do have three projects kind of unfolding as we see. Actually, there are actually four. I should have listed the Friends of the Arts commitment to a project, the Jasper Arts Department mural project, Jasper Des Foundation project. There's also an arts project through Joe Rohleder as an ancillary work through Rojack that would be somewhere in the area of the barn. I think Adam Dawkins is involved in that, and I did not list that here, but that should have been included. Infrastructure. And this is not only the city alone. It is something that could involve private partnerships as well. Streets and roads, it is essential that we look at a four-lane interstate level connection to I-69. Coming through DuBois County, essentially Interstate 64 through Interstate 69. It will not be going through downtown Jasper, I can tell you that, but it'll be close enough and much closer than what we have now for safe travels, for lessened expense in travels, and also for expediency for moving product and merchandise. So that is critical. Whether you call it I-67, whether you call it a connector, public-private partnership is likely a toll road. We need that. Why? Fundamentally to serve the customers and clients that are here now, but critically to be part of economic development decisions that haven't even been thought of yet. If we are not connected to I-69, we isolate ourselves even more. DuBois County, I might add, and Jasper is the center of the county, is rather an enigma to economic development organizations in the state of Indiana. Funny how things never really include this. It's Evansville, Indianapolis, Jeffersonville, New Albany, Bloomington, now French Lake connected to Bloomington because of the Cooks, and yet we lead the state in employment time after time after time. No one knows exactly what to do with DuBois County and the greater aspect. Much of that, I think, is aligned to the way we've done things. Kind of German, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, get out of the way, we'll do our own work. I still want that to continue, but there's no reason we can't elevate our game and our message to say, hey, we're a player. I think Mark did some research a couple of years ago. This general area, in all types of taxes, contributes about $250 million to the state of Indiana every year. And Mark, road-wise, we have that, one project in the last 13?
It was 11 when we started studying, so that's 12 to 13 years since they've done a significant investment in this county.
So we're out doing something unusual for DuBois County, which is advocating for something from government, but not with a handout saying, give us a hand up, reach out with us, we'll join you, we'll help get this done. And that's really what the I-67 Development Corporation, Hank Mankey and others, and I'm on that board, does. Our comprehensive plan in the city, very interestingly, was completed in 2010. It's still a relatively new document, but everything was geared to a U.S. 231 bypass of the city of around the city of Jasper, east, west, who knows. But in May of 2011, the NDOT pulled that off entirely. It doesn't exist. So technically, our comprehensive plan on transportation is somewhat outdated. I'd propose a transportation study to amend this, looking again with probably an I-67 or a four-lane connection. And that's just an update. I haven't budgeted for it necessarily, but it's something that I think we need to do because that section on that road, everything leading to that, even from city streets that need to be built, is somewhat outdated. There's a complete streets concept, and that's a term that NDOT doesn't even employ. City Vision brought that to us and encouraged us to see if we could maybe be kind of the test market for our NDOT for looking at some complete street development. And that's a conceptualization I'd like to share with you this morning. The master plan calls for considerations of two-way streets rather than one-way streets. That's also called for a comprehensive plan of consideration. Sometimes that's a generational thing. What looked good 30 years ago may or may not be good now. It may be just fine, but those are calls that have been made. Sixth and Newton, I'm thinking that even though we asked for this, and I'm not sure what the outcome will be, for the benefit of our downtown, we need to make a left-hand turn onto the square from Newton Street and Sixth and Newton, and we need to make a left-hand turn off the square. We now have better traffic. We have less traffic coming from factories going down through downtown. Jackson Street's a good venue with the stoplight. We have South Newton, that's a way to get out, and eventually Clay Street is a way to get out because you can get the second. So things have changed in that pattern, and yet we are kind of inhibiting our flow into our downtown and the flow from the downtown. It seems very prudent to consider this as well. There is a potential, I think. The city owns a parking area that used to be the old National Bank building. We struggle here as a city on the square with our merchants with courthouse parking. And where does it go? And then we also have, interestingly enough, because they don't have to be ADA compliant, a federal post office that you can't get into, that people fall from. Why shouldn't we consider a combined parking structure of some sort, nicely done, that would utilize our city assets, that would also have county designation where they are going to be parking their people, and that would also maybe enable a level entry into the post office. That's just my vision, shared it with David and Barry of City Visions and Gamble Associates, and we did throw it on a map just as a possibility, but the discussion hasn't been held. My first reveal this morning, it seems like that would be a good strategy. And again, cost notwithstanding, you know, if the post office would play a game, I think we'd have a good partner. And we do know that the county, I think, would hope to partner with us in a good way. And that'd be something that could fit and alleviate, again, some of the concerns we have. Saying, frankly, probably would affect the number of parking tickets we give, but that would be a good thing. And the city strategic stormwater initiative is another key area of infrastructure. We are focused on a funded, internally funded, $2.5 million investment in our stormwater system, generally to correct ongoing problems, some of which have been going on for maybe 10, 12 years. And we are starting those. The design companies have come in with some estimates, or actually with proposals, and we're going to share that. We'll be doing a phase every 7 years. I'm going to guess maybe anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000 each of those. It is being paid for by an increase in your ERU rates on your utility bills. We could have funded it by bond. It would have cost us another $1 million more. We thought that was not prudent. So we did go for the first time in 10 years from a $2 rate to a $3.96 rate. You will see that at the beginning of the year. Be aware of that. We've announced it. We passed it. It's been publicized, but probably never enough until you get your bill. But that will self-fund these things that essentially in stormwater, all good intentions, but federally and state mandated without any supporting funds. We pay for that. So when the state comes in and says, you got to do this, we started that stormwater program. It has worked very well. We're responsible for what goes in that river. And for those of you that may have a ditch in your backyard or a creek and your stormwater goes back there, well, yes, you don't have maybe a curb inlet, it still gets to the river. We're still responsible for that. So expect that, but we will be funding that internally, and we'll be doing work over the course of the next 7 years. There's additional infrastructure. This is one of our greatest assets that often gets overlooked in economic development. I would like to see our utilities actually play a role like the Economic Development Commission and adopt some strategies or adopt ordinances that will allow them to also evaluate a company on incentives for use of utilities, whether that's a phase-in of fees or whether that's a phase-in of something related to jobs. That's still to be determined. Also like to look at utilities when they look at economic development opportunities, consider some ordinances that would allow special consideration for those that are basically restoring or refilling old buildings. Let's say those on Vine Street. What could we do to kind of encourage that? Not necessarily to waive things, because I know we want to be protective of all ratepayers, but ultimately how could we make this work better? And I also don't mind looking at seeing how we could, you know, I think one of the things that has been very difficult for me as mayor, and I say this somewhat with a smile, but there's nothing more frustrating to me than to see a Honeybird utility gas truck in the city of Jasper. And I say that with all due respect. We made decisions to protect and to have certain areas, a certain piping used many years ago that ultimately, once they started building in the west side of Jasper, we lost revenue opportunities. Regardless of how much we mark up our gas or what we do, the idea that we have another city's utilities in our city when we could have had them is something we don't want to do again. I really don't want to see that happen. We need to employ those utilities here because they are our finest asset that we have. Jasper Clean Energy, that essentially is the power plant. While there's been a great amount of controversy, we've had lawsuits, and I think most of you know the score, let me tell you that should that lease be employed, and that certainly is a marketplace-driven decision, as well as a regulatory decision, it will bring a high level of tax evaluation for that property. It will be private, that will not the city, so that will be an impact. It will be our largest water customer. And we will begin utilizing services in the city of Jasper, I think, that would return for a long time over the course of that lease. Fundamentally, even regardless of what's happened in the lawsuit, that has not been related to the plan itself as much as the decision-making. And we have to remember that that was laid out, and the considerations among many were economically driven. I can tell you also in this room, I don't think I'm speaking out of school because they've told me. There is no wavering in the confidence that the decision of the Utility Service Board and City Council members at the time was not correct. They are comfortable with what was done and simply are trying to wait to see what goes forward. Ultimately, they're not buying the energy. We're not buying the energy. It's got to be an open market thing and driven a lot by some of the mechanisms in the marketplace for electricity. But it's an opportunity that will still pay back in economic development with the city of Jasper. Compressed natural gas, that kind of came out of that particular discussion. And ultimately it comes down to the point, we have gas. We distribute gas. Utility Service Board Chairman Wayne Sheeter kind of played this idea. We run out the flagpole. We're going to host a compressed natural gas forum on January 31st, 2014 to talk about the possibilities of having maybe a private investment. We're not sure how it would work out publicly. Essentially, we want to sell more gas, however we can do that. If we can serve a compressed natural gas fleet within city business for businesses that are here in the city and you're running fleets, we've had some businesses talk to us about that. Wonderful. Then we are now serving as an economic development partner. We may or may not run that as a city. We may want partners to be able to say, hey, I'm interested in doing this with you. Essentially, though, we've got gas and we've got gas distribution. And we could leverage that. The hydrology study is the area between the bridges. Essentially, we studied the flow of the water, the rates, where it could flood, things like that. The area between our bridges of South Newton and on 164 is pretty critical for that to happen. And that will start very, very soon. That's going to give us some indications of what perhaps we can do in our development in that area. Also, some development that's already been done has been lagging in some red tape nightmare between Chicago and Indianapolis. So for us, it serves two purposes. One, it helps look at that entire river, which kind of builds off of that downtown master plan. And then also that it enables those who wish to maybe buy into that study to do so for their own private development. The Bill Bank wall restoration is going to be a green installation. The wall that was there is not structural. We're going to have basically some confined natural plantings that's going to be done. It's going to be a bank stabilization project as well beyond the mill, and because there's some banks washing away there. Just to give you an update that that's what's going to happen so you know what to expect. And we've had two public presentations of that recently. And then, of course, a fiber build-out. We've sent out an RFP for building out are accepting fiber for city offices and city utility offices. Part of that will make us able to have a phone system here at City Hall that is compatible and expandable with other city properties. We have a 20-year-old phone system in this building that has absolutely, we've cannibalized every known part. And so before we just replace it for this building, we want to look at if Ken needs it at the park department or if Ernie needs it at the gas and water, and they could expand their phone system and build off of ours, and the fiber is going to serve that purpose. So right now we also have a lot of mishmash of connections. We're using some radio connectivity, some copper connectivity, and we think we could look at some savings overall. We'll have an investment in technology. What we will have to do as a city is invest in technology annually, and we can't just do it as a one-off either. We're either in the game or we're out of the game, and we have to get in the game because of this phone system and probably create some type of technology budgeting for the city, whether that's management of it or funding for things that are happening. We don't want to get to the point of going, well, the phone system is driving the need for technology. We've got to accept technology in our overall city plan. And the utilities and civil city teaming up together is a very cost-effective, prorated expenses to taxpayers and ratepayers. I can't imagine a better circumstance where the city shares those expenses. It's a very efficient way, and you should know that. Effective governance is the third area. Essentially, how well we do. It's not about being efficient, it's about being effective. And I think when you look at the streets and things that we have cleaned over the last week and the challenges those always bring with every particular snowfall, for the most part, we're pretty darn effective. And we don't get a lot of calls. It was unusual to get a few calls last Friday morning at the street department wondering why their leaves weren't being picked up or their trash wasn't, but I think they were just a little busy. Nevertheless, that is being effective. We do respond very well. One thing that we have noticed, we have not formally reviewed, we've tweaked and updated, but not formally reviewed or adopted a new zoning or subdivision control ordinance since 1993. We are doing that this year. It likely will take all year. It's going to have public input, just like we have. That's going to fall under the auspices of Darla Blazek, Community Development and Planning, and the Plan Commission, but we're going to need some public input to that. We will even review again the sign ordinance that was recently adopted, because that's part of that, just to see if there's any tweaks in the last year. Code enforcement. We have a code enforcement officer who's our fire chief, but we also know that that was kind of just added in to kind of fill in that position, and we could do it better. We really can. Some things of our code enforcement fall under two or three different departments, and you're not sure how to respond, so we'll be looking at that. For a procurement card, the city credit card. We really use some credit cards. We have a credit card ordinance, but we need to look at a state system that's called a procurement card. And that allows us to actually receive money back from every purchase. And it's a statewide system. It's on the state procurement approved list. And it's something that I'm going to encourage, and I think we have a call for some departments for us to consider that. That is effective governance because it gives us a chance to get money back on money we spend. And then park endowment, something that we are looking at as a city. We have been very much blessed in all aspects of city operations by the generosity of the citizens and businesses of Jasper. If we could create a park endowment, we now have a tax revenue area for you and for those who wish to have that. And I see the endowment being used for three things. I see it being used, first of all, as a perpetual gift machine, that it could be there and it could be placed into place and it could be drawn from over a period of time for assets. Never taking out what was given, but also playing and taking out the interest that's earned. It could be a pass-through fund for projects. I desire to do this on behalf of mom or dad, and then we could use that. And it could be used to invest in, with the state of Indiana, implementation of a bicentennial land trust. And we could look at even purchasing additional property if we need to that are wooded, that would not be developed. It's really of no purpose or use to anyone else or adjacent to parks. And that's a possibility, too. The state has $30 million until the year 2016 in which to invest one-to-one in land. It has a conservation easement on it, but for the most part, it means it just shouldn't be developed. There are still possibilities of shelter and things. So I think this is an area that we want to look at deeper, and the foundation has played a great role with us to help us understand this. Telling and selling is simply about getting our message out. It's something that we have. If we have such a good place, who are we telling and why? Who do you tell about? Who do you talk to Jasper about? Wayne, I think you're very passionate about the utility side, and you talk about it. But how do we get our message out professionally, personally? That's what we have to do. We have the new city brand. We have the city website, which has been working very, very well. The comments have been good. And it's always a thing that's in fluid that's going to be changing all the time. We need to reach out to developers. We have a great builder mindset in DuBois County. We can build anything and build it well. We have not always had a great, especially commercial development mindset. We need to look at marketing ourselves to developers outside the area, as well as having conversations like we've been having the last couple of weeks with developers right here. We have 500,000 square feet of former factory space in downtown Jasper that's virtually unoccupied. And then grow our workforce. We have employers in this county who have announced that they have jobs available today. And they'll have more jobs available in the next 3 years. This group right here has already approved some phasing that requires them to have those jobs there. And as one of those people said to me, Mayor, we're going to meet our goal of having these jobs created. What are you going to do about people to fill them? I didn't have an answer. We have to do that. That is our obligation. To do so, I think we have to grow our workforce, which means we have to grow our residents that live here, or at least within an area of DuBois County that work here. We have to do that. That's not just a Jasper thing. That dovetail with a new mission of DuBois Strong that I think Alan will help implement. We literally are very unusual. How many counties do you know that need people compared to needing new places to work? Almost none. Everybody else is begging companies to come in to help their people work. This is a good thing, but it's a challenging thing. Then working with others, and we do this very well. DuBois Strong, for example, is working with us right now looking at shovel-ready sites, official state designation here in the city of Jasper. And we appreciate Michael's work with us, as well as the board. We have the Utility Services Board, the Economic Development Commission, the Redevelopment Commission. Those last two are now meeting regularly. Sometimes if there's not business, they don't meet, but they used to not meet at all, unless needed. The Redevelopment Commission was only created at one point to just one particular project, and now we have some activity. They actually own the country club property, and that's the proper use of a Redevelopment Commission. We have a great relationship with Radius Indiana, DuBois Strong, Lieutenant Governor's Office, and all the entities there. We're grateful for Indiana 15 Regional Planning, BUJC, the Chamber of Commerce, ROJAC, and all the work that has been done, not only from that group, but their private contributors to that. And then, of course, a very important relationship with the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns. They are a very key component of what we do as being more effective governance. It's critical. And we have some things that are coming up that we need to be aware of. As I close out today, one thing I'd like to say that there are challenges. And the challenges that we have...